Beloved, I would like tonight, or better yet, this morning with you, to meditate upon the gospel story that we just read of the birth of our Lord. Let us place ourselves in spirit 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem and witness the events that St. Luke narrates in the gospel. But first, let us go back even farther, even before the beginning of time, to the bosom of God the Father. And there we behold in spirit the Most Holy Trinity and the decision being made by God, by the three divine persons, to send the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, into the world in time to redeem mankind. We then come to the creation of the world and eventually to the incarnation, the moment chosen by God for the accomplishment of his greatest external work, the incarnation of the Word. And note that it was in the silence of the night, traditionally believed to be at midnight, that the angel came to our Blessed Mother and announced to her the tidings that she had been chosen to be the Mother of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. God always seems to work in secret. Imagine our Blessed Mother there and this stupendous event taking place of the Incarnation with no one else around, all the other inhabitants of Nazareth asleep in their homes without a clue as to what was taking place in the home of Mary. God often works in the same way in our souls. Think of even the conversion of great saints, the tremendous miracle of conversion that took place in their hearts was unknown to those around them until at least they began externally to give evidence of their change of heart and the grace they received. We then go to the espousals of our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. Almighty God had arranged through the priests in the temple that Saint Joseph should be espoused to our Blessed Mother. Each of them, unbeknownst to the other, had made a vow of virginity, something which was unknown in the Old Testament. But each, inspired by the grace of God and desiring to give their lives completely to God, had vowed a life of celibacy. And Saint Joseph, chosen by the priests and espoused to our Blessed Mother, not knowing how to convey his intentions to her, our Blessed Mother related to Saint Joseph her own vow, and he rejoiced. But that joy was apparently short-lived. For some time later at Nazareth, before they came together to live under the same roof, he became aware of the fact that Mary was with child. And Saint Joseph was in great distress, knowing of Our Lady's virtue, not knowing the divine mystery, wondering and doubting in a severe interior trial. Saint Joseph had recourse to prayer and no doubt spent many sleepless nights and many hours of doubt and perplexity and anxiety. And finally, an angel revealed the mystery to Saint Joseph. What do we do in times of trial, in times of doubt, in times of temptation, especially the worst kind of temptation of all, which is a temptation against faith, a doubt of our faith? When we experience interior sorrow, interior trial and darkness, do we, like Saint Joseph, have recourse to prayer? Because if we do, sooner or later, that veil, that shroud, will be lifted, and all will be clear. Saint Joseph is a wonderful example to us of prayer, of trust in God, and of a desire to do only the will of God. Sometime later comes the news that the emperor desires a census to be taken. Now here, Our Lady was quite pregnant with the divine child. It was close to the time of birth, but note the obedience of our Blessed Mother and especially Saint Joseph as the husband, the head of the family, making that decision to travel all the way to Bethlehem, a distance of some 90 miles, out of obedience to the civil ruler, because in that command he saw the will of Almighty God. Saint Joseph then traveled with our Blessed Mother once again, filled with anxiety. Where are we going to stay? How am I going to provide for Mary? They arrive at Bethlehem, and his worst fears are realized when every door is shut in their face. And yet, although it seems to us a tragedy that there was no room for them in the inns, the dwellings of Bethlehem, our Lord desired to be born in the stable, because in the stable there was no sin. Undoubtedly, in the city of Bethlehem, there was a great deal of selfishness and self-centeredness, and there were sins committed. But in that cave, there were only animals, and these animals did not offend God. And even though the cave was cold and no doubt smelly with the animals, it was a paradise to our Lord when he was born, for Mary and Joseph were there, and there was no sin. God is the God of purity, and how he loves to dwell in a heart that is free from sin. And so we find our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph now in the cave. Saint Joseph hurrying about to do everything he can to make our Blessed Mother as comfortable as possible, for her time is at hand. Now it's interesting, in the cave at Bethlehem, because I've been there, that there is a section where tradition has it that our Lord was born, and that is referred to as Mary's cave. And this cave is connected by a long, small corridor to another cave that is referred to as Saint Joseph's cave. Note how God provided for the modesty of our Blessed Mother, that she had her own dwelling apart from that of Saint Joseph. And while our Blessed Mother was there in the middle of the night, wrapped in ecstasy and profound adoration, and with her heart and mind lifted up to God in prayer, our Divine Lord was born in a miraculous manner. There was no pain on the part of our Blessed Mother. It was not a normal birth. It was a miraculous birth. According to spiritual writers, Our Lady looked down, and suddenly there she beheld, lying before her on the straw, the divine infant. She wrapped him in the poor swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, the feeding trough of the animals, for this divine child was going to be spiritual food for starving millions in the world in the centuries to come. The angel then suddenly appears to the shepherds in the fields, the only people in that whole area that were awake in the middle of the night. The shepherds would live out in the fields, and they would take turns watching the sheep. Even in the middle of the night, they would divide up the night into periods of several hours and would take turns. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared to the shepherds there in the field, and they were surrounded by the glory of God, and he announced to them the great tidings that the Savior was born. And when the angel had finished his greeting, there suddenly was a multitude of the heavenly host joining in song. And what must that first Christmas carol have been like? The singing of angels. This is why we have the beautiful custom of singing carols at Christmas time in imitation of the angels, in praise of the divine infant. The shepherds roused those other shepherds who were sleeping, and they all went over to Bethlehem to find the infant. And there they found him as the angels had told them, and they rejoiced because they understood the message they had been given. And we are told then that they returned telling everyone of the wonderful things that they had experienced, what they had witnessed in the fields, what they had found in the cave, the joy that was theirs. And is not this always the result of grace? When we receive grace, we want to share it with others. We want to bring others the joy that we have, the knowledge, the love of God that we experience. Love is effusive. It wants to communicate itself to others, to as many as possible. And so the apostolic spirit is part of our faith. and growing in faith and love of our faith. So you see, these are just some of the thoughts that should inspire us as we reflect upon the beautiful story of Christmas, the birth of Christ. May its lessons sink into our hearts and change our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.